Welcome to the Native Advertising Powerhouse, a podcast dedicated to help publishers and native ad studio professionals build a solid framework for their native advertising efforts. The host of the show is Jesper Lawson, founder of the Native Advertising Institute.
My name is Jesper Lawson, and you're listening to the 8th episode of the Native Advertising Powerhouse. Today, I have Juliane Sydow joining me on the show. Juliane is the director of Axel Springer Brand Studio. Next week, she'll be hosting a workshop at our conference Native Advertising Days in Berlin on how to break the mold in native advertising. Today, however, we will be talking about Axel Springer Brand Studio, how they built the studio, and how they work with native advertising. So welcome on the show, Juliane.
Thank you very much.
So you're heading the Axel Springer Brand Studio, but could you tell us a little about your background, what you were doing before you came to the position you're at now?
Of course. Now heading a unit which has business aspects and also a very creative part. And looking back on my CV, I can see that those both disciplines have always been with me. Mm-hmm. First, I studied business administration and media consulting, which is both very creative and also business related. Mm-hmm. And then I jumped into editorial business and did an editorial traineeship and then worked as an editor. And then again switched sides, coming to Axel Springer and joining the management team of Bild Digital and worked as a product manager for our content verticals. And then after a couple of years, I headed this department. We had more than 4 content verticals then developed. And then in January, I started working for the Axel Springer Brand Studio, or I built the Axel Springer Brand Studio because the unit has been launched this year.
Yeah, and it was actually a merger of different entities in the Axel Springer world. Could you tell us a little bit about the story of the brand studio?
Yes, we started native advertising, storytelling native advertising, 3 years ago almost. In 2016, we started it within the brands, within the publisher brands, Bild and Welt, with own units, the Bild Brand Studio and the Welt Brand Station. And then we had a restructure last year and we split up digital and print world within the management and also those brand organizations. Mm-hmm. So it was also very logical to create cross-media brand unit for native advertising. And so we decided to set up an Axel Springer Brand Studio to work for all brands.
So now you're working across all the media, the major media brands in the Axel Springer company.
Yes, we do.
And what was the logic behind putting these together instead of having a Bild one and a Welt one, then putting those together? What was the logic behind the merger?
It's just more efficient and you can learn from each other. It's more efficient for our sales colleagues who don't have to talk to different units anymore. They just talk to us. And that's, of course, easier for our sales colleagues. And we do a lot of things to make their work easier and more efficient. And then, of course, it's also better for our clients because now when we create campaigns, we think them across brands. And not only the Bild team is thinking about the Bild brands and the Welt team is thinking about the Welt brands. Mm-hmm. We just think about the best solution for our customer and the advertisers. And that's for sure a better way for everybody here.
And if you look at it now, what percentage is cross-brand campaigns and what percentage is still either a Bild campaign or another media brand?
As we have just started in January, the bigger part of our campaigns are still for one brand,
okay.
But we have created first showcases across brands. I think it's still a way of improvement, mm-hmm. Because it's also a budget topic. If you put more brands into a concept, then the budget is rising. So we are still working on develop this as a potential topic. But it's 10-20%.
And what have you learned so far? Given the fact that you haven't had that many yet, but what have you learned in terms of the cross-brand campaigns?
A lot, actually, because we have more people in our unit now. That's one thing. We have been smaller units before, and now we have grown to a team of almost 20 people, and that's a huge development for us. And you learn from each other. The brands learn from each other. Bild is has a totally different campaign mechanic than Welt has. But for us, it really helps us to look on campaign mechanics from different perspectives. That's one point. And on the other side, of course, as I said before, helping our sales department to work more efficient and to be faster and to create better concepts for our advertisers is always something which helps us to market our publishing brands better. Mm. That's one goal we have.
Some publishers might be afraid that if they were to offer the advertisers, you know, a broad selection of their brands, that they might be cannibalizing on the budgets more than just getting more budgets. What are your thoughts on that?
Of course, effects like this are always something you have to keep up with. Mm-hmm. But I rather cannibalize within my own company than within the market. So I think we do handle that, but the effects are not that big as that's something we really discuss. Mm. Because native advertising in the German market is a topic which is rising, and we see that budgets are growing. So everything what helps us to create better campaigns and concepts is something we want and we have to do. Mm. So that was logic for us.
You mentioned before that now you are a bigger unit, obviously, than being several smaller units. What kind of benefits has that given you? You know, what are the pros in terms of having a bigger team?
You have a bigger voice within the own company when it, for example, comes to technical development. Mm-hmm. The arguments are better talking to our product development department for, e.g., developing some new storytelling formats or talking about technical solutions for scalable products. Then you have better arguments when you talk about 15 to 20 publishing brands than just talk about one. Mm-hmm. That's one point. And of course, within our team, people are now working across brands as well. And that's more efficient, as I said before. So it helps us to be or to create more outcome. And that's really important within our unit because we grow. But it's not that we can hire every month 5 new people. So right. We build up this team now, and now we have to also grow our budgets or our revenue streams. Mm-hmm. And then see what happens next.
Has it allowed you to get more specialists on the team? I mean, if you are a team of three, there's a limit as to how many specialists you can have on the team. If you're more people, potentially you could get more specialists. Is that something that you've experienced?
Yes. We, for example, created a role this year for business development, which is really important for us because looking into the future is something you really have to do while working on campaigns and creating revenue right now. It's really important to look into the future and to prepare what's next. Mm-hmm. So business development is a very important topic for us, and being more people allows us to have a role which is not really actually working on operational topics, mm-hmm. but working on topics which are relevant for us within the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Some might say, though, that, you know, to make native, you have to be really, really strong on a particular media brand. And some even say, you know, if it's true native, then a story that is created for one, let's say Bild, one media brand, cannot be used on other platforms. How do you, I mean, even though you're working with some of your projects across media brands, you still have to be good at the, you know, each brand. How do you make sure that your people don't just become generalists, but that they're still really good on the specific brands so that they can create something that is really native to that brand?
We think about our users first, and that's one of our main goals when starting to create a campaign. Mm-hmm. That's why we would never use a campaign which we have created for Bild exactly like this for Welt. Of okay. course, what we would do is we would talk to our partner, the advertiser, and translate their communication goals into the Bild world, mm-hmm. and then into the Welt world, and create totally different campaigns, but still use the power of cross-media efficient.
Okay.
So we would never transfer a campaign just directly into another publishing brand,
right?
Because that wouldn't work for our users.
But do you then
put together a team where that, but you have someone on your team that is, you know, one that is good on build and one that is good in Welt, or how do you put together the team for a campaign?
Yes, we would do it like this. We would, we have colleagues who are working for both brands, campaign manager, for example, project manager, but our editorial team is split up in Bild and Welt. Bild is headed by Yvonne Balster, who has been with Bild for years, and Dirk Nolde is heading the Welt department, who is also for years within the Welt group. So we make sure that the DNA of a brand is really in a campaign. And our consultants, for example, they also are specialists for one brand, but can also work for both brands. But we have one consultant who's more working for the Bild department and another one who's more working for the Welt department. So we make sure that the DNA of our publishing brands are within every campaign and every project we are starting.
That makes good sense. So working across multiple publishing brands has some advantages. You mentioned that it's easier for the salespeople, that you become more efficient, that you it allows you to have specialists like business development people. Those are all good things, opportunities. But what are there? Is there any downsides to it? You know, is there any challenges from the fact that you have to cater to the broad range of Axel Springer publishing brands?
I mean, of course, as you said before, the effects of cannibalization are sometimes something we talk about, or we talk to our publishing brands about, because, for example, our verticals, which are smaller content portals, sometimes would like to be positioned more or better in the market. And when advertisers always ask for Bild and Welt, sometimes the challenge to convince them also to work together with content verticals. But that would be one point. But to be honest, I couldn't think of any other downsides. I mean, it was interesting to see in the beginning what happens when you put two teams in one room and let them work together. But for us, it totally worked out, and we are better than before.
Okay, I know there are some publishers that are thinking about, you know, putting together a larger studio. They might have, you know, more smaller ones like you used to have, and one of the pushbacks that they're getting is from the, let's say, local advertising directors. So the people who are in charge of advertising sales on the specific brands, that they will be afraid that they cannot meet their budget goals if there is created a big entity that works for them all. You know, they're afraid of being forgotten. Have you had any pushback in your organization from different sub-brands when putting together this larger organization?
Not directly,
okay.
But because being a bigger unit means that we are able to work on more and greater and bigger campaigns. And it's a lot about communication. I mean, if you just put together two units, let them work together and don't communicate with any stakeholders within the company, then of course thoughts like this could be something which those colleagues could have. But we communicate a lot. We traveled to Germany, to our other departments. We introduced us. We let them know what our plans are. So I think it's a lot about communication, and we try to be good in that.
Yeah. And I assume it requires C-level buy-in, right? Or even that the project was decided on C-level, that this is how we're going to do it, rather than something that's, you know, that springs out of the different entities.
Yes, of course. That always helps when you have the backup of C-level, and we do have that. And content marketing is a focus topic for us. And so, yeah, it helps us within the stakeholder management.
I know one of the things that you are thinking a lot about is how to position your studio, how to differentiate it in the German market. As you say, native advertising is growing in Germany as it is, you know, in most countries. What are you thinking in terms of how to position the Axel Springer brand studio?
I think that really strong media brands with a really clearly defined voice that users identify with are really important today, as never before. And that's why I think that in Germany or internationally, that each content studio of a publishing house like ours is as special and unique as media brands are. So So having Bild and Welt within our portfolio is something which no other publishing house in Germany has. So that's, first of all, our unique position within the market. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our audience, our online audience, is something we really think about, because we have over 40 million unique users every month.
Ah, that's a good number.
Yeah, even more, and every second person in this country. So it gives us the opportunity to really have to really create great campaigns with a high awareness. Mm-hmm. And that's something what we're really proud of.
And is there any other way that a studio could differentiate itself other than having a unique media brand? Or is that really the differentiator for a studio?
I think within the publishing house, that would be the first point. Mm-hmm. But of course, the campaigns you create and the quality you deliver is also super important.
Right.
And we really take care that our campaigns and the quality deliver really satisfies our users and our advertisers.
Mm. And I know you're working a lot of trying to come up with more, innovation in terms of the products that you deliver.
Yes, we always do. I mean, as I said before, working on campaigns and just being quite reactive to what gets in from the market, it's always a challenge to create innovational topics besides that. But having somebody who's taking care of our business development is totally helping us with that challenge. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to be innovative on two sides. We're trying to be innovative within our storytelling skills, using VR, AR, or 360 storytelling tools and creating campaigns around this is something we're really thinking of, but also being innovative on the technical side and helping our advertisers to get more insights on our campaigns. That's something we really want to focus on in 2019.
But being innovative is, I'm assuming everybody would like to do that, but it's also potentially a difficult thing, right? Because it means taking some chances and it means to set aside budgets for testing and trying out new stuff. How do you deal with that challenge? Because I'm sure you have pretty high numbers that you need to meet on a daily basis.
Yes, we do. But luckily, we always meet them, this year especially, and it's a great year for us. Creating innovations within our unit is something we really want to focus on and we already focus on. And what helps us is if we find a partner. We like to create innovations within campaigns and okay. Find a partner who's bold enough to jump in with us on this topic.
Do you have any examples of, and by a partner, I assume you mean an advertiser that are willing to test things out?
Yes.
Could you give us an example of a project where you've done that?
Yes, this summer we created a 360 campaign with our partner Europa Park.
Which is an amusement park?
Yes, it's a very big amusement park. And we created a 360 campaign for Bild.de. And it was also quite risky because of the technical side of this campaign. But it gave us storytelling opportunities, which really created a great awareness within our users and within our online audience. Mm. And the campaign was very successful. The story was great. We worked together with a former football player from the national team, and he was really a great testimonial for this campaign. We had a great editor working on this, and the success was great. And I think we are also nominated for a Native Advertising Award.
Yes, you are. And I saw the campaign. So you have a 360, a camera, and somebody riding a roller coaster while being interviewed, right?
Yes, that was the story. And this somebody was this former soccer player. And it was great fun, the story. And it created a great value for our advertising partner.
I have to say, he didn't look as if it was all good fun. He looked a little stressed out on some of the videos. But I guess that's a roller coaster for you.
Maybe it wasn't that much fun for him, but for the audience, it was.
It looks that way. What are the challenges that a lot of companies or publishers are struggling with in terms of native is the issue around scalability. Is that something that you think about at Axel Springer?
Yes, as I said before, that scalability is really one of our focus topics, and we really deal a lot with questions of how we can generate more output with the same effort and then grow as a unit. For us now, it happens on the one hand through the optimization of our processes, and then we would really like to see the development within the market that it comes more to long-term partnerships with our advertisers, because this campaign-related creating of campaigns, for us, it's not the most efficient way. We can see that when we work together with a partner for several times, that the whole communication and translating part is getting more and more efficient. That helps us to scale. And then, of course, technical solutions also will help us with this. And we really need more solutions for our teaser management and, of course, also for external topics like self-publishing approaches. And we will deal with that within the next year. That will be a really focus topic for us.
And could you elaborate a little on self-publishing?
Yeah, I mean, it's a project we have now started. So you can see in the market that advertisers ask for this, and it wouldn't be for really premium native advertising campaigns, of course, because we would never give that out of our own hands, but for more technical content solutions like advertorials and also for teaser native advertising, that is a solution which could also work for us, having a self-publishing tool.
Is that they could publish it on their own platforms, the advertiser?
No, they could publish it on our platform.
Oh, in that way. Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll give them a space where they can actually come with some content that they can publish on your different sites.
That would be the idea.
Okay.
It's still something we are thinking about. That's not something we're doing like next month, but the market is asking for it, and we would like to answer that question.
So I'm assuming, do you have, you know, programmatic platforms like Outbrain on your platforms already?
Yes. We have now switched partnerships and working together with Taboola.
Okay.
And we've worked together with Outbrain very successfully for years, but now, switched the partnership. But this kind of native advertising is not within our unit. The Axel Springer Brand Studio is really working on the creative storytelling native advertising part, and not the teaser recommendation tool native advertising part.
And how would the self-publishing solution be different from Taboola, for example?
It's more about content which is displayed on our publishing brands.
Hmm.
What, of course, I mean, the recommendation part from Taboola and Outbrain is also happening within our own publishing reach, but then the monetization happens out of our own reach.
Okay.
So that the approach of a self-publishing tool would be to monetize our own reach.
Mm. I think that one of the pioneers in self-publishing would be Forbes, where you have the brand voice, a place where I believe they have currently 12 different brands that have their own blog on Forbes.com, like the SAP, the German software company. Is it something in those lines, or are you thinking a little smaller to start out with?
To be honest, it's still a business development topic for us, so I'm not really able to answer those questions now. Maybe we should talk about that next year.
Yeah.
But brand voice is, for example, something we really look into closely, because it's a very interesting approach.
Yeah. You mentioned before something about, you know, how long you work with a client, that you do multiple campaigns. A lot of publishers are more prone to do longer relationship, but it's hard for them. Is that something that you're working on as well?
Yes. It's one of our main goals, because the whole consulting and communication part within a partnership is something which really takes a lot of time on our side, but also on the side of our partner, the advertiser.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a commitment on both sides. And if you just do that for one campaign and we have, you know, before we start really creating content, we have calls and meetings and sometimes workshop days. We travel, we invest a lot of time on both sides and then actually starting to create a campaign. So if we can be more efficient within this process of communication and consulting, it helps both sides because you don't have to invest that much anymore. And you can concentrate on the creation of the campaign and the optimization of the campaign and to create innovations, for example, and to take the time you have then left over to invest into new ideas and innovation topics.
Yeah. And is it something that you see is resonating with the advertisers? Are they asking for longer term relationships as well?
That's a good question because I don't know. Because we really pitch that a lot. And sometimes we really get the feedback that exactly what an advertiser wants. For example, for our content vertical, which have long-term partnerships, they're often 12 to 24 months long. And that's, okay, you know, what also the partner wants, because then you can really create value. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, we have partners who really still want to work campaign-driven and just to, you know, think from one budget to the next one. Mm. So that's also a question I would like to be answered.
Yeah. And do you see, is it special kinds of company that are looking for the longer term? Or I mean, the ones on your content verticals that sign up for a 12 or 24 months deal, is that a special kind of company, or is it hard to see any patterns?
Yeah, it's hard to see any patterns, but what helps is if the company, the advertiser has a goal, like a really strategic long-term goal, and then you can really help them to fulfill those goals. Mm-hmm. Because then you can really set up a strategic plan for communication and content creation.
Right.
And companies or advertisers who just think about, you know, the next budget and the next quarter and the next campaign, and they don't think about the strategic long-term goal behind that, those companies would not be the ones who would really raise the hand when we ask for long-term partnerships.
Mm. And in that process of having those discussions with advertisers, what role does the media buying agencies play?
That totally depends, to be honest, because of course, media agencies are often our first point of contact. But when discussions are getting deeper, mm-hmm, we always talk to the brands directly and then talk to brands and media agencies.
Okay.
That's often the process.
Mm. In terms of selling your solutions, how do you sell native advertising at the Axel Springer Brand Studio?
At Axel Springer, all our products are sold by our own marketing company, Media Impact.
Okay.
And also native advertising is sold by Media Impact. So we have a dedicated sales team, digital sales team, which is national and international. And then we have an own pre-sales and marketing role within our unit to help our digital sales team to deliver the best concepts and pitches for our advertisers.
Okay. And is that Media Impact? Do they sell traditional advertising as well? So both native and traditional?
Yes.
Okay.
They sell everything. So as I said in the beginning, we started native advertising in 2016. Mm-hmm. So I think the first 12 to 18 months educating our sales people was really a focus topic for us, because you always have to find your heroes who really jump into the new topic, and then you have others who are specialized on, you know, another topic. So that was really a focus topic for us, to help our salespeople to have all the information they need to perform in front of a potential client.
Mm.
But we have now a lot of experience because we have sold, you know, over, I don't know, 220 campaigns within the last year. So I think we now have the experience within our sales team.
But how did you start out with teaching the salespeople about native advertising? Because I know that's one of the things that a lot of publishers are struggling with. It's always easier just to sell. I'm not saying easier, but at least it's easier to understand just selling 10 pages like you've always done. So native advertising is something new. How did you start out teaching them?
I think the first move was the advertiser. When an advertiser is asking for something, mm-hmm, that totally helps us as a unit, because then the salespeople see that, oh, there's a new potential field for me creating or entering a new budget field. So that's one point. And then, of course, we just joined them for their appointments mm-hmm. with potential advertisers. And that really helps, just to show them how we sell our story. And when you do that a couple of times, then that's, I think, a great effect for them.
And is your budget depending on their work? I mean, if they don't sell any native projects, then you wouldn't meet your budgets, I assume.
Yes, but we don't have that problem yet,
okay.
To be honest. The market is really asking for innovation, and native advertising was like the new hot shit the last 2 years. So even if they would have not offered it, a lot of campaigns still would have been created and created budget.
So it's a hot topic in Germany now. It has been for 2 years, you're saying. How do you see the market in the next 2 years, for example, in Germany?
I think native advertising is still on the rise mm-hmm. because you have two developments within the market. You have the programmatic development, the data-driven development, the totally technical development, and then on the other hand, what we do, the really individual campaign creating development, storytelling. It's a lot about telling a story. And that's, I think, those two movements are like the big ones within the market within the next 2 years.
Okay. What else is going on in German market? So you feel it's going to keep rising for the next couple of years. Is there any other trends that you could share with us in terms of what you see in the German market?
Yeah, I think it's also a lot about data, as I said mm-hmm. Before. That's also a focus topic for us, creating more value and return for our partners by combining our storytelling campaigns with data-driven parts. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think the challenge of the budget shift. I mean, we can see that within the last years, and I think that will still continue, that budgets also just within the digital marketing are shifting from just display advertising into programmatic and our storytelling content marketing business. Mm. So I think that's a challenge, and I think that publishing houses really have to prepare for that even more.
And how could they prepare for that? What should they do?
Yeah, I think we are still doing it by creating units like ours mm-hmm. and on the same side working on all the other really important topics for us, like, as I said, programmatic and data-driven advertising. That's important for us.
Yeah, it seems to be. There are some publishers out there. I mean, a lot of publishers around the globe are struggling in terms of revenues in general. And there are a lot of the ones that we talk to that kind of have to prove that they can make, you know, $3 before they're allowed to invest $1 in a team or something else. It seems that at Axel Springer, you have been fortunate enough to be allowed to invest somewhat in your team without having to prove that you could actually sell it. Or have you? Or has it? How has it been? Has there been a willingness to invest without to be sure to make the money?
I think that would be a little bit too romantic.
Okay.
Of course, we really proved up front that this is a really a growing market by hitting and really overperforming budgets within the 1.5 years before. So it wasn't like that, our C-level colleagues said, oh, guys, please help yourself with 10 more people and let's see what happens. Of course, it was more like, okay, that's really part of my job. Going into management meetings and showing or proving them, okay, we hit this budget, now we would like to grow more, and then we had hit that budget, and then we would like to grow even more. So mm-hmm. It's not that it was a pre-invest. It was the budget came, and then we could invest more.
Okay, good. And so if you were to build a studio from scratch, just say, assume you were allowed to hire 5 people, what would those people be? Or what would those roles be?
If you would have asked me this question 2 years ago, I would have said, oh, I can hire 5 people. That's great. because I would have expected three. And now I would say, oh, I think I need even more. Mm-hmm. But if I think about the disciplines and the talents, of course, I think two people would be really, really, really necessary. And that would be a good manager, because you really need to set up a business and set up a unit. And in a company like ours, the internal stakeholder management is really important, in-house policy, setting up sales, etc. And then, of course, you need a good journalist, because you need to create good showcase campaigns mm-hmm. to actually enter the market. So that would be the first two disciplines I would concentrate on. And of course, you then need a good project and campaign manager who is really an KPI expert, because you want to prove that what we do really creates value for mm-hmm. our users and for our advertisers. And that would be the three disciplines. And you need consulting and sales, and that's what we saw this year, you need business development, because it's, I think you should never just think about the challenges you have right now. You should always think about the challenges you could face within the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, that makes good sense. So a good manager to run the studio, a journalist or an editor, someone with a strong editorial understanding, a project and campaign manager to prove the effectiveness, good consultancy and selling, and then business development. Those would be the five areas.
Yes.
Okay. What do you do in terms of design, you know, the visual of it? Is that something that you...
Yes, of course. I just wanted to say hi to our design team, because they have not been forgotten. But that would be from the beginning, for example, a discipline you could work on together on a freelance base. But mm-hmm. the design and the front end part would be just the next, you know, discipline right. you have to think about. But that's something you could also, you know, help yourself from freelance market.
Right.
And a good editorial person is always thinking about how a campaign or a story looks in the end.
Yeah.
So that would make sure that this expertise is also within the team, but design, creation, and front end is also very important for us.
So that would be six or seven.
Yes, as I said, if you would have asked me 2 years ago, five people would have been a lot, and now five people is really not that much.
All right, that makes good sense. So what are you working on currently at Axel Springer Brand Studio? What are you working on now?
On several things. We are working on a lot of business development topics. Some of them I mentioned before. We are working on partnerships within the media and creative agency world in Germany, because we think that could also help us to create more long-term partnerships, which, as I also said before, is a really important topic for us. We are working on really scalable products. We really want to create a story within the next year in the market, and therefore we need new technical solutions for it. And also, every day when we come to work, our approach is to create the best campaigns for our partners. So that's something we always think about, and we are really pitching great ideas to our partners. We have now pitched our first really like 360 campaign approach, which would include great storytelling campaign across brands, influencer marketing, which is really an important topic for us to combine that with our native advertising campaigns, and also an offline event, which we would like to produce for our client.
Could you elaborate a little on both the influencer and the offline event?
Yeah, I mean, that's we work together with an influencer agency, Intermate, and we often offer within our concepts, our partners, also influencer approaches, because we think that influencer marketing is a really great add-on to our native advertising campaigns within our publishing reach. But if a partner also wants to have relevant reach out of our reach, then influencer marketing would be the best approach here. And also the mechanic of influencer marketing and native advertising is almost the same, because influencer marketing is native advertising, but just on each platform of those individual influencers. So I think it's a great combination.
Mm-hmm.
And we often see that partners really want to create great stories, and events, for example, help us to create great stories. We are really happy to have those two strong brands, Bild and Welt, where we also already have great events within the year. We have the Weltwirtschaftsgipfel. We have really great Bild events like Bild 100, where we invite really like important people from policy, media, and industry. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of expertise in here, and that's why we think that it would really help also our partners if we would work together on this topic.
Interesting. I'm going to look forward to seeing projects coming out of Axel Springer Brand Studio with influencers and physical events. Maybe we'll even have that in next year's Native Advertising Awards.
Yes, I hope so.
We're going to see each other next week at Native Advertising Days in Berlin, where you'll be hosting a pre-event party as well as a workshop.
Yes, and we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be great fun and also great work.
Great. We're looking forward to see that. Thank you so much, Juliane, for taking time out to be on this podcast.
Yeah, and thank you. It was really fun.
And I'll see you next week in Berlin.
Thank you, Jesper.
Okay, bye-bye. And for our listeners, if you like what you've heard, please drop us a review on iTunes or SoundCloud. And while you're there, make sure you subscribe. We're also now available on Pocket Cast and Stitcher. But whatever platform you prefer for listening, remember that you can also be notified each time we launch a new episode by signing up for our podcast newsletter at nativeadvertisinginstitute.com/podcast. And finally, if you want to learn more, join us in Berlin next week for Native Advertising Days. Visit nativeadvertisinginstitute.com/days for more information. That's all for now, folks. Next time, we'll have Mary Gail Pesimenti, who is VP of Content at CBS Interactive, on the show. So make sure to be back for more insights on how to build your very own native advertising powerhouse.
That's it, you guys. Remember to subscribe to the Native Advertising Powerhouse podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud.